I want to talk to us about a subject that I labeled, the wrestling is over. Now, if you're a parent, you know what wrestling with your kids is like. Not only physically, but also emotionally and mentally wrestling with your kids and how much it just wears on you. Well, it wears on your kids as well. And us as children of God, when we wrestle with God, it wears on us. You ever seen someone who is just, you look at them and you're like, man, you need a year vacation. Like, you need to go somewhere, hide and rest because you look spiritually, mentally, physically beat up. And so today we're going to talk about this fact that we actually shouldn't wrestle with God. And we're going to look at an illustration about this guy named Jacob. Now, I remember when I was a kid, they told me the story of Jacob, and Jacob is the grandson of Abraham, and you know, he got Abraham's inheritance that was passed down to Isaac and then to Jacob, and I had this impression that Jacob is this amazing guy who almost beat God in a wrestling match, and it's funny, when you look at it, it looks that way. But today we're actually going to talk about how, because of what Christ did, we no longer have to wrestle God like Jacob did. So if you up on the screen is going to be our scripture. It's found in Genesis 32 this morning. It says, that night Jacob got up, took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. I think that's how you pronounce it. Now, first off, can we stop right there? And if any of you guys can understand this, be thankful you don't have two wives and 11 kids, right? For those of you that did have that many kids, God bless you. That is crazy. He goes on and he says, after he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could no longer or could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with him. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask me my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place, and I'm going to butcher this, Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him, and as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, this day the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. All right. That's a lot to take in for a second. Today we're going to talk about stop trying to wrestle God. There's no sense, there's no logic in trying to continue to wrestle God. And I'm going to explain to you what I exactly mean by wrestling with God. But the first point I want to make is we no longer need to wrestle with God only to receive his gift, which is Jesus, and embrace it. This past week, I did a lesson, and it was basically about embracing Jesus. And I found out some of the teens don't know what embrace means. It means 100% surrendering and accepting what is in front of you. It's this idea that, you know, I'm all in. I'm not going to think about anything else. I'm going to embrace this. When you're on a team and you embrace the ideology of the team, that is what you live by. I remember when, this not anymore, but I used to, when we had a good soccer team, it was take care of your body and you eat right. I don't necessarily do that anymore. I've gained a lot of weight since high school. But that ideology I fully embraced, right? And so we no longer need to wrestle with God, only to receive. Now, that's a foreign concept for us because we are normally raised and taught you wrestle for everything, you fight for everything. And I'm not saying fighting for stuff is bad, but what I am saying is fighting God, you're going to lose. and it's not going to be pretty. And then you're going to be frustrated. And then you're going to look at it and say, God doesn't love me anymore. And that's not the case at all. Now, Paul in Philippians says this in chapter 3. We're going to go 2 through 4 and then 7 through 11. It says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those manipulators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. See, Paul cracks me up here, because he's going to go on, and he, in the next 4 verses, he actually talks about how, guys, here's my credentials. I'm like a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, which, by the way, is the best tribe. I am faultless when it comes to the law. I am the ideal person. But you shouldn't have confidence in that. And he goes on in verse 7 and says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surprising worth of knowing Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul's saying, guys, here's the thing. We all have things we've fought for. We all have things we've worked hard for. We all have things that we hold on to, that we care about, that we want to say is very important in life, but nothing matters except Christ. Your credentials doesn't matter. What you do doesn't matter. All that matters is what Christ did in your life. And the crazy thing about it is sometimes, and we're going to get into this in a little bit, sometimes we feel we deserve to treat people a certain way. We feel that we have earned a right or we are entitled. And if you're a teenager, this is for you. Entitlement is evil. You didn't earn anything. You didn't get that. It's not just because Matthew, it's not because you're good looking, bud, okay? You're not entitled to treat people the way you want to treat them. And a lot of us, we sit there and we go, well, I've served in the church long enough. I feel I've earned the right to go up and tell that person they're wrong. Or you know what? I've served enough at school. I've been a teacher for years. I think I have the right to go tell another teacher how horrible they are. Or if you're a brother and sister, I've been your brother forever, so I have the right to go and tell you you're a screw up. In our family, that's kind of what we did all the time. Like, Josh, you suck. Alicia, you suck. And I apologize for saying that on Sunday morning. But it's true. Sometimes we look at each other and we say, I have the right to treat you this way. And Paul makes a point to say, guys, look, when you put confidence in the flesh, that means you're not putting confidence in God. And that means that you are putting it on yourself. And when we put things on ourselves, we fail miserably, horribly. I don't know about you guys, but I've realized when I do not pray about things, when I do not seek God on things, when I do not necessarily follow where God's leading me, I realize I am wrestling God and I am trying to do my own thing. See, wrestling with God only leads us to putting our will versus his will. Now, this is really easy to pick out when it comes to kids and parents. Teenagers in the back, do you guys ever fight your will versus your parents? No, this is what I want. Well, no, you're 14. You don't get to do that. You don't get to stay out till 1 a.m. You're a kid. Well, no, I deserve it. I did good in school. I got a job. I deserve this. No. Jim Tressel, football season's almost here, guys, so just be patient. Jim Tressel used to say, nothing good ever happens past 10 p.m., all right? And I used to laugh at that. And now I look at it and like, yeah, nothing ever good happens past 10 p.m. It just doesn't, right? We get into bad things. So today we're going to look at the story of Jacob. And we're going to look at it through the lens of the cross. And what I mean by that is when I look at stories in the Old Testament, I look at it through, okay, so what does this mean with what Jesus did for us, dying on the cross, forgiving us of our sins? What does this story mean to me? How can I take that and use it in my life? Will you guys bow your heads? We're going to open up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, first off, I would like to thank you for the offering. Lord, I pray that you would just use that money, bless your people, bless your mission. Lord, I pray that you will bless our commitment to you. And Lord, I pray today, if there's anyone in the room that is just, they're spiritually and emotionally drained, or they're spiritually and emotionally just weak because of always wrestling with you, God, I pray that you will just touch their heart. Give them peace and let them know the wrestling is over. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning, the story I have for you guys is kind of a look into the Addy household. I didn't ask my dad permission, so it's easier to ask for forgiveness, right? So when I was a kid, how many of you guys, majority of us, if you're a guy especially, you enjoyed wrestling with your dad. I remember when I was a kid, me and my brother, I don't know if you remember this, Josh, we used to go into mom and dad's room, and we used to watch WWE, and we would wrestle on the bed. I think one time I broke my dad's nose, which, you know, it's good for me, right? And so we loved wrestling. Now, the thing about when kids wrestle with their parents or someone bigger than them, most of the time, the bigger person lets them win because they're a kid, right? You're just like, I don't want to crush this kid's spirit by like putting him in a chokehold and making him pass out. That's not good, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let him win sometimes. Well, the bad thing about that is eventually as they grow up, they start to get this false confidence. And I remember when I was a kid and my dad is very loving and compassionate, but when it came to sports, oh, he was my coach, and he was ruthless, absolutely ruthless. I would be 8, 9, 10 years old and have the ball, and he would literally come over and just toss me to the side, take the ball, and go. And I would look up, and he's like, well, better toughen up. By the time I was 14 and 15, I realized dad's getting older, I'm getting stronger, he stopped doing that. I learned what body leverage is. I learned how when you brace yourself, and he's not the most balanced person, so I can easily knock him off, and he will go falling, and I will laugh, and I'll take the ball and go. And as I was getting older, I started to get this false confidence. Now, here's where the story gets really interesting. I was 14 or 15. Video games was huge for me back then. We used to hold Halo tournaments. We would go, and we would go in someone's house, and we'd split the room into four sections by sheets, and we would system link, which means all the TVs together and Xboxes together, and we would play, and then the internet came out to where you can play. You can sit in your basement and just play, and that's a huge problem in and of itself for our generation. But I remember I had this, like, tray of food, and I'm walking down the steps in socks, and if you have carpeting that's really old, it's really slick, I fell down about 10 steps. Food, slushy, everywhere, back hurting. Immediately, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm the type of person, when I hurt myself, don't come around me. I'm going to bite your head off. I'm going to get mad, and I'm going to lash out. That's just, I've been trying to get that under control, but I've had that problem forever, and I think most of us have. And so what happened was, is I come back upstairs, and I'm hurt, I'm upset, and my mom's asking me these questions. And I don't like questions when I'm hurt. So I snap back. I tell her to go clean it up. I am rude. I am disrespectful. And my dad, it's really funny because he can watch TV and not hear anything, right? But as soon as he hears disrespect, he snaps out of it. And he goes, what? What was that? And so he comes and finds me in the kitchen, confronts me, puts me in my place, and like a stubborn teenager, as I was walking away, I called him something. I called him something you shouldn't call your father. I was dumb in that. Now, here's the thing, though. I'm walking down the stairs, and I say it, and I'm like, he's in the other room. He can't hear me. It's okay. Within 2 seconds, he meets me at the bottom of the stairs, grabs me one-armed up the stairs, drags me up there. And in that moment, I realize my dad is not old and weak. I realized in that moment he was letting me win all those times. I realized in the moment when push came to shove, I was going to lose that battle every single time. Now, you ask yourself, why are you sharing that story with this story? The reason is when you read Genesis 32, Jacob, it clearly says in the scripture that Jacob at least gave God a run for his money. That Jacob fought him to a point to where God had to knock his hip out of socket. And we sit there and we praise Jacob. We sit there and say like, oh, he is amazing. He is a man of God. He must be this amazing guy that God just empowered. And you know what? It is crazy. So we should probably wrestle with God sometimes. The funny thing about it is when you read it, all he had to do was touch his hip. Boom, out of socket. So then you realize, wait, okay, hold on, God. So Jacob didn't actually win. You let him win. You let him in the conversation. You let him struggle with you so you could do something in his life. Now, a little bit of background with Jacob. I don't know if you guys know this. And I didn't realize this till I was older, because in Sunday school, a lot of the Old Testament people are so revered, which they should be, but so revered that you don't think there's issues with them. And then as you get older, you read stories about Moses, and you're like, wait, he killed a guy? You read stories about David, and you're like, wait, he killed a guy and was an adulterer? What's going on here? And you read these stories of people that they're like us. They're a little bit jacked up. They got some issues. They got some major problems in their life. Now, background of Jacob, he is the grandson of Abraham. His name means supplanter, which in a roundabout means to trip up or to overthrow. Jacob was a manipulator. He was a cheater. If you remember when Jacob was born, he's a twin. But when he was born, his brother Esau came out before him and he's grabbing his heel. That is exactly where Jacob comes from. And so when you look at it, you start to dig a little bit deeper. You're like, man, this guy's got some issues. And then when you realize that Jacob stole Esau's inheritance, Jacob fooled Isaac and took his inheritance. Esau was owed the inheritance that God promised to Abraham, which was, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make your descendants number the stars in the sky. I'm going to bless you. He passes that on to Isaac, which is Jacob's father. And then when it's time for Isaac to give it to his son Esau, Jacob cheats. Jacob fools his father. And then we go on, and right before chapter 32, actually earlier in chapter 32, it kind of explains how Jacob got here. So what was happening was Jacob didn't like his father-in-law, which some of you may, you know, understand. Didn't like his father-in-law. So he leaves his father-in-law, takes his family, takes his tribe away. And then all of a sudden he gets a message that his brother Esau knows where he's at. And his brother Esau is coming to find him. And it's not like a, hey, let's reconnect, let's grab a cup of coffee, let's go just catch up on things. It's, Jacob, I'm going to come to you with 400 soldiers. Now, I don't know about you guys, but high schoolers can relate to this. When you have a feud with someone and they say, hey, come meet me and my friends, most of the time you're not going to say, okay, where? Because that means you're going to get beat up. That means you're going to get jumped. So Jacob immediately starts to think of ideas. Starts to say, okay, how can I kind of fool my brother? So he sends bribes. He sends cattle. He sends people. He sends bribes to his brother. And then he sends his family across the river. And then that's where this story begins. He's alone at night, broken. I don't know about you guys, but when you fight God, and to be honest, what Jacob did to Esau is exactly fighting God. God, I don't think he deserves it. I think I do. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kind of manipulate the situation. I'm going to form it to how I want it, and then I'm going to take it. When I was preparing for this message, I don't know about you guys, but I think all of us can be honest. We all struggle with this. We all struggle with this idea of, God, I know you have your way of doing things, but I have my way too. And you know what we try to do? We try to force God's way to fit in the small section of our way. And the reality is the only way is God's way. Now, the next point I want to share is God came to Jacob to impact and change his life. And the screens are acting up. I saw Alicia's reaction like, I don't know what's going on. But so God came and met Jacob there, not to go into a wrestling match, not to say, man, Jacob's been working out. I wonder if I can take him. Not to do that. It was he wanted to meet Jacob where he's at, broken, frustrated, confused, lost. And he wanted to impact and change his life. Now, how similar is that to the story of Christ? You know, we sing the song, Come As You Are. We sing songs all the time about how God's love will find you where you're at and meet you there. All you have to do is receive it. God wants to change you, but he doesn't want to wrestle you. And do you know why? It's because Jesus already did the wrestling. Jesus already did all the work. See, Jacob, he wrestled God because Christ hasn't came yet. And because there was no longer that free gift, there was the law and you had to abide by the law. And the thing about the law is a lot of it has to do with how good you are, how good you act. And we made it into something it's not, and we wrestle God on that. And how often do we kind of do that? I've been to church the past 6 months. I can yell at that person. You know what? I've been reading my Bible, and I think I can treat them that way. And you know the funny thing about it? I've never met the person who mistreats someone, and then you ask them why, and their response is, well, Jesus died for me, so I can treat them that way. No one will ever say that. No one will ever say, you know what? God loves me, so I don't like you. No one's going to use that excuse. But what excuse they will use is, I deserve to treat them that way. Seth, you don't understand what they said about me. No, I get it. Seth, you don't understand how they act towards me. No, I get it. But it doesn't mean you get to treat them however you want. When dealing with teens, we get this a lot. We get this all the time. Now, as parents and as kids, you understand, when you go to someone and you tattle on them, most of the time, and like, let's say someone says, well, they treated me this way. And you go, okay, so what'd you do? And they're like, well, I didn't do anything. Like, no, come on. What'd you do? And I noticed Morgan left the room. That is hilarious, right? You know, what did you do? And you sit there and they go like, well, they said something, so I said something back to them, and they deserved it. Like, what do you mean they deserved it? Well, I get to treat them however I want because they mistreated me. And we build our life that way. Well, that lady at church on Sunday morning, she always mean mugs me, so this morning I mean mugged her. You're like, what? You're 60 years old. What are you doing? No, don't do that. Or teenagers, it's, well, they said something about my friend, so I said something about them. No, Christ didn't die for us to act that way. How many times in life are we wrestling with God's way of life, trying to force it into our way? We believe that we are entitled to a certain way because we believe, we deserve it. I can act this way. It's okay. It's really funny. Isaac is way too young to understand the church environment and the church protocol. and how you're supposed to act in church. And you'll see him back there. He'll be yelling or like during the songs, I loved it to death. He came running up here with a smile around the corner and over to Keaton. And then Keaton came around in this way. And we look at it and sometimes we're like, whoa, kid, what are you doing? No, it's not how you're supposed to be. Look, I've been going to church here for a while. I understand. And look, I get into this all the time when I like try to correct a kid and I go, oh, okay. Yes, they probably shouldn't have done that. But why am I yelling at them? Why don't I put my arm around them and say, hey, I remember when I was a little kid and used to run on the pews. Here's the danger of it. You're going to fall and hit your head. And it's going to be a problem, Isaac. And Isaac already falls a lot. So he's got like, I don't know if he's got jello legs or what's going on, Ryan. More milk. The reason we feel so entitled is we have this misinterpretation of ourselves. God does something in our life, and then we act like we earned it. God does something in our life, and we act like we deserve it. One of the great things about Paul in this passage is he's saying, guys, like, look, if anyone deserves praise, if anyone deserves to sit here and say, I can treat you however I want, it's me. I've done everything for my faith I possibly can. I even killed people for my faith. I am faultless under the law. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. But you know what? Since I encountered Christ, since Jesus saved me, none of that matters. It doesn't matter to anyone. So why should it matter to me? It doesn't matter to Christ. I can't earn his love. I can't earn his grace. I don't deserve it, but it's a free gift. And that's what I mean, if you don't get anything out of today's message, I just want you to get, don't wrestle, just receive. Don't fight God for things. Just accept what's coming. A lot of us sit there and we say, well, and this is prevalent in teens and also, I mean, if adults are honest, we do it too. But we'll sit there and say, well, you know, until I get this area cleaned up in my life, I'm not really going to take my relationship with Christ seriously. Because I feel like I have to earn Christ's love. I feel like I have to clean up my act. I feel like I have to do this in order to embrace what Christ has done for me. And through this story of Jacob, we can sit there and say, it has nothing to do with us. We may wrestle God. We may think we got God on the ropes. But all he's got to do is just touch us and put things out of whack. See, just like Jacob's fight wasn't actually a fight with God or a wrestling match. We stand no chance on living up to the law. And the law is the 640-some rules that the Jewish people had that you had to follow in order to be in right standing with God. That you had to abide by. And the idea behind that is guys, it doesn't matter how good you think you are, you don't match up to it. God's standards here, our capability is here. So why are we trying to earn it? Why are we trying to build ourselves up when Christ has already bridged that gap? And it's simply through believing in Christ and having faith in Christ and making Christ the Lord of your life that we accomplish these things. I thought you were snapping at me. Brian wants your attention over there. All right. See, it's only through Jesus that life change happens. Any of you guys ever heard that term, life change? We use it in church a lot. We're like, we're looking for life change. We're looking for people's lives to change, right? That's what the title says. That's what it is. In reality, we just need people to embrace Christ and who he is. And then the change happens. And if you're in ministry, you understand that. And you understand, like, look, I can tell you how you're supposed to act. I can tell you what Scripture says how we're supposed to act. But it means nothing until you have that encounter with Christ. And you have that, make that decision that, you know what, it's not by my strength, it's not by my accord, it's all about Christ. So, my question to you guys is, and here's the reality, all of us want to be blessed. None of us look at it and be like, I don't want God to bless me. Mm-mm, nope. Nope, I don't want good things in my life. I don't want God to show up and do something awesome. No one's going to say that. We all want to be blessed, but not necessarily do any of the work. I have good news. You can. If you simply put your trust in God, trust in Christ, you will be blessed for it. I forget how many promises are in the Bible. There's hundreds of promises God makes to us. And one of them is, if you follow his commands, he will be with you. If you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, and by neighbor I mean everyone, if you love them as yourself, you're going to grow and things are going to change. So many times when I talk to teens, they go, what do I got to do? What do I got to do to change? Well, the reality is you just got to give up. You just got to give up fighting. You got to give up wrestling God, and you just got to let it go. So at this time, I'm going to ask you two and Pam. Is Pam coming up? Nope, no Pam. Them two, Dylan and Kayla, to come up. And in closing, I had this kind of thought and revelation this week. You know, I'm done wrestling. I'm done fighting with people. I'm done thinking my way is right. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. And you know what? I'm tapping out. God, I tap out. I give up. I don't want to fight you anymore. I don't want to fight what your will is for my life. I'm done. It's exhausting. So I believe it's not a battle I want to win. A lot of us, what we come to the conclusion when we start a relationship with Christ is, when you start a relationship with Christ, it's the end of you, and it's the beginning of Christ. So it's the end of the old Seth, and now it's the Seth who Christ shines through. I no longer have to wrestle with that. I just got to accept it, believe it, and embrace it. If that's you, if that's something that's on your heart today, you sit there and say, I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore. I encourage you, talk to God about it. Pray about it. Say that to him. Say, God, I'm at the end. I'm like Jacob. I have nothing left, and I'm just here. I need you to show up and change my life. Not only did God change Jacob's name, which changed his future, but he also changed his walk. Jacob, from then on, walked with a limp. And people saw him and goes, that's the guy who wrestled with God. That's the guy who God changed his life from being a cheater to setting up a nation.